Thank you for that, ladies. Appreciate that. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, as I mentioned last week, we looked at the warnings of Christmas, if you will, and looked at those that we find in Matthew, the warnings that God gave to various individuals to keep them from doing untold damage, if you will, thinking of the warning to the wise men not to go back to Herod to tell him where Jesus was, warning Joseph to leave that area because Herod was seeking the life of the son. And I want us to look at the wonders of Christmas today as we look forward to celebrating the birth of our Savior tomorrow. Let's read verses 1 through 14, and I know we read them this morning in our Sunday school class, but to me they never tire. It is a highlight to think of Luke's account, and again, like reading Matthew as well, but it just, this stands out. And I think back, for me, it goes all the way back of watching, of all things, the Charlie Brown Christmas. And this is the passage that Linus reads as they lay out, what is the meaning of Christmas? And Linus stands there on that stage, drops his blanket, if you notice, that ever-present blanket that he relied on, but as he is saying these verses, he drops that blanket. I think it's significant on Linus's part, but he reads this passage and lets Charlie Brown know this is the meaning of Christmas and how true. So let's read these. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time now that we have to come into thy word. Pray that our hearts and minds are attentive. And Father, as we look at that Christmas day, the birth of our Savior, the announcement that the angels give to those lowly shepherds. Father, truly it is a humble event, and yet it is a glorious event. One that has the host of heaven praising you as they see your plan unfold. Man's plan of redemption is about to be initiated with the birth of Jesus Christ. God robing himself in human flesh. A great mystery, a great truth. And we thank you for sending your Son, that Jesus Christ willingly came and lived a perfect, sinless life, the life that we could not live. Became our substitute on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins in his own body on that tree. Father, we thank you for that substitutionary death. We thank you that you brought that good news of salvation through Christ to us these many centuries later. And we have responded in faith, believing that Christ died in our place for our sins. And Father, His righteousness was imputed to our account as a result. And we stand before You justified because of what Christ accomplished. We will one day stand in Your presence to be with You forever, all because of Christ coming into this world. We thank You and praise You for that. May we, like the shepherds, herald this message to those around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In 1972, I woke up on Christmas morning to see snow falling. And as you know, that made for a happy camper. That was, to me, an extraordinary Christmas. It was a wonderful Christmas because it ended up being a white Christmas that day. That is the first white Christmas that I have memories of. We may have had them in the first 2 years of my birth. I don't know. I don't remember those. Christmas of 61, Christmas of 62, I do not remember. But by Christmas of 63, we're living in Los Angeles, California, and they don't get white Christmases. But I remember that. I don't remember the gifts, but I do remember the white Christmas. It stuck primarily because that was the last time I would live in northern Indiana to see a white Christmas, because that following summer we moved to eastern North Carolina, and I never saw a white Christmas again until Christmas of 1998, when we're living in Washington State, and we traveled a few miles up the road from our home to my in-laws, where they had some snow that had fallen a few days before and was still there on Christmas, so that I could call it a white Christmas. And so 26 years between white Christmases, and so those are, to me, highlights. And afterwards, for a few years, I would have several more white Christmases along the way. And Tracy and I are at odds with what we want for tomorrow. He was hoping for 65. The temperature, I think, is closer to mine, because they are calling for freezing temperatures overnight, so I'm closer to maybe seeing a white Christmas. We'll see what happens. They are calling for some snow in the forecast, so I'm still hopeful, but I can tell we're going to be at odds on Christmas these coming years, one for warm days and one for nice white days, so it'll probably be a battle. We'll see who wins out, who has the closer ear to God, maybe, to get their wish. We'll see. It's always good. I've had that, I think, in every church that I've been a part of. There are those that like to see a white Christmas, and there are those that just kind of furl their eyebrows at me and think, "No, Pastor. No, Pastor." We all have our preferences, so we'll enjoy them and have a good time along the way. But as we look at these things, I want us to think of the wonders of Christmas. We often think of the wonders of watching our children open presents, celebrating the season with our family and friends. But really, I want us to look at the wonders about Christmas that far exceed snow falling, presents, caroling. And let us look at those wonders of that first morning that Christ is born. I think sometimes we would like to be somehow time travelers that wouldn't impact, obviously, the course of history and the past, but to just be there, to be that proverbial fly on the wall, although there are fly swatters, so I don't know how well that would work. If they hate flies as much as we do, we would try to get rid of them. So being a fly on the wall may not be the best thing. But I would love at times to go back. And this is one of those events to me that I think I would love to go back and be outside with those shepherds and watch the events unfold. But we see the wonders of the angels that moved them to glory in our last verse that we read, we have an angel coming to these shepherds. And I know we've probably seen Christmas programs that kind of take us back into those days and kind of hear some of the narrative that maybe the shepherds are having that night. You know, what are they thinking as they're there huddled around a fire, chatting about the day's events, you know, how the sheep were behaving or misbehaving or whatever the case may be, what's going on in their realm of the world. And all of a sudden, this angel is here, and this light that just brightens the night sky, and an angel comes to them and tells them that there's good tidings. There's going to be joy for all people because your Savior is being born in Bethlehem. And that angel, in announcing that and telling them where they're going to find him in the city of David, Jerusalem, they're on the hillsides, I dare say, outside of Bethlehem. And they tell them, this is the sign, you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Of all places, this child is going to be in a cattle stall. The Savior, Christ the Lord. I'm sure the shepherds probably had a bit of a quizzical look. Our promised Messiah, the Son of David, the King. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feed trough? Not David's son. But that's the prophecy. That's the declaration. And as they announced that, in verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." As this one angel announces that, the rest of the host of angels in heaven can't keep quiet. And they join in, if you will, with this announcement and say, "Glory to God in the highest." Not just glory to God, but glory to God in the highest. Angels. A fascinating being, if you will, one that we know had choice. Some chose to follow Satan and fell from heaven. Others chose to stay with God. They were given a choice, just like Adam was given a choice. But there's a great distinction between these two groups of created beings. Man was given the means of redemption. The angels were not. I think it's why we see elsewhere that the angels desire to look into those things. Not in jealousy, because they're angels that are worshiping God as they ought to, as they were created to. But I dare say to look in wonder and amazement of the means of redemption for mankind. God sent His Son to redeem those rebellious people. What love! We see angels playing an important role. We see them at times throughout the Old Testament. Some of them are Christophanies or Theophanies, a pre-incarnate appearing of Christ, God robing Himself, as it were, temporarily in a human form to talk to men on this earth. We see the angels are active in our Christmas story. We have one coming to Zechariah while he's ministering in the temple to tell him that Elizabeth's going to have a child, that they're going to have a child. We see Gabriel coming to Mary in Luke chapter 1. We have the angel coming to Joseph as well, letting him know there's no need to divorce Mary. She's not been unfaithful to you. She's not broken those marriage vows that you have. And we have this announcement to the shepherds as this angel comes and lets them know that their Savior, the promised Messiah, has been born. The one that they've been looking for, as I've mentioned in previous messages, I think all that we see that are tied to the Christ's birth were people that were looking for and anticipating their Messiah. They've read the Old Testament. Again, they know Daniel chapter 9. They know the clock of those 70 weeks has been counting down. And as they look at their calendars, if you will, now they wouldn't have all 480 some odd calendars for all those years, but they know that those years are coming down to that time when the Messiah would appear and then be cut off. They know that time is nearing. And they are living in anticipation. Now we know for Anna and Simeon, God lets them know specifically, though you're older in age, you're going to see your Messiah before I take you home. And it's no coincidence that they're in the temple the day that Mary and Joseph bring their sacrifice for the purifying of Mary to see the Christ child, to hold him. What an amazement. They're holding this little newborn babe, and it's their Savior, their Redeemer. But these angels, note as this message is given to these shepherds, glory to God in the highest. Our Greek word there is doxa. We think of doxologies. I don't know that we have them in our hymnal. I think some of the older ones will put doxologies on the fly leaf inside. But there are doxologies to sing in services, obviously. That's where we get our word. That's where it comes from, this Greek word. We also have it translated as glorious or honor, dignity or worship. The word means magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace. Obviously, it's a superlative word. It's a word that we reserve for very few things. Ultimately, really, it should be reserved for God. And these angels note that, yes, glory to God, but then they add on to the highest. Let's add on to the top of that superlative. We can't think of any other words, but in the highest. Why? Because God's plan of redemption for mankind is unfolding. God the Son has robed Himself in human flesh. Is that not cause for glory to God? It should. It does the angels. And I trust it does for us too with every Christmas. That we thank our God. We give Him glory, honor, majesty. God, thank you. My redemption is in Christ. He came into this world in the right time, in the fullness of time. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, as Paul tells the Galatians. Higher in glory, God could not go. And when we stop to think about the message of salvation, really, is there a higher glory? God has given the means of man's redemption. He has restored, if you will, that which Adam fell from. As we've been looking at creation in Sunday school, we find in those beginning in that beginning chapter, if you will, into chapter 2, man was created in perfection. He had unfettered access to God for an undetermined length of time. God would come in the cool of the day and talk with Adam and Eve. How many days did they do that? We don't know. We don't have that access today. God doesn't come down and talk with us in the cool of the day. There's coming a day when we will, in the new heaven, in the new earth, the new Jerusalem. God's restored that which mankind fell from. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, that is restored. Not in its fullness, not in its completeness in this life. Because unfortunately, we still live in this body of sin. God's going to give us a new body, a glorious body, a body like His own. When we stop to consider that Christ, the second Adam, overcomes what the first Adam brought into this world. And the angels rejoice with that understanding that here in this babe is man's redemption. It's the means that mankind can join us in glorifying God in heaven. Luke later on will record for us as he writes in an event in Luke chapter 15 verse 10, he says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." The angels rejoiced when you trusted Christ. The angels in heaven rejoiced when I trusted Christ. Oh, it's an event that we didn't see, we didn't behold. But Luke reminds us that there was. Why? I think for the same reason that they're rejoicing here and calling glory to God. Because the means of man's redemption has been complete, and here's one that has taken up that message. And by faith has believed in what Christ accomplished on the cross for them. Again, that which Adam broke, God through His Son has restored, and this one has taken up that restoration. And they will be with us one day in heaven to rejoice around the throne of God forever and ever. Truly a glory. The wonder of the shepherds moved them to go. Verse 15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Let's drop down to verse 20. "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." The wonder of the shepherds moved them to go. I think it comes kind of, to put it in our vernacular of today, a no-brainer. Angels tell them that your Savior, Christ the Lord, is born. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Then that brightness disappears, the darkness returns. Oh, that was nice. Beriah, how are the shepherd sheep doing on your side? Oh, they're doing okay? Okay, good. Mine are all quieted down. They didn't get disturbed by that. Got a bite to eat? They didn't carry on a conversation as if nothing happened. It's like, let's go find out about this. Let's go see this event that we've just been told about. I mean, an angel came down. We heard the host of heaven. Let's go find our Messiah. Let's go find this child. I mean, imagine being one of them. I dare say that we would have made a beeline for Bethlehem. Let's find those cattle stalls. He told us we'll find a babe lying in a manger. We know where all the cattle stalls are. We live here in Bethlehem. I mean, let's go. He didn't give us a specific one, but let's go find them. We know where they're at. And they go searching. Why? Because of this wonder. Their Messiah has been born. God didn't give them, you know, all those details of what was going on. I dare say they, like others, knew that he would be born in Bethlehem. Micah 5:2. But, you know, all of a sudden, suddenly uncommon things happen. It's not every day that a light shines over you in darkness and an angel talks to you and then the host of heaven shouts glory to God in the highest. Let's go find out about this event. And they do. And they find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger with Mary and Joseph. And I dare say, though, you know, Luke doesn't tell us, they worshiped him. Just like the wise men do when they find him. They can't help but to. This is their Redeemer, their anointed one, their Messiah. Do they understand fully that this is God robed in human flesh? Do any of us fully understand God robed in human flesh? But they know the promises. This is their Redeemer, their Savior. His name is Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. He's our Redeemer. Let us go. Let's find this. And then we find that they do not keep these things to themselves. They let others know. Do we do the same? When we met our Savior, the day we trusted Christ, a glorious day, was it not? A day to know that our sins have been forgiven. A day that we are washed and made white as snow. Did we keep that message to ourselves? The shepherds did not. Verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. As the shepherds leave that cattle stall, early morning hours, again, doesn't tell us. Anybody that they find, they're letting them know, hey, Christ the Savior is born. We found him. He's in so, by then he would know, he's in so-and-so's cattle stall. You will find him there with his mother and father. Won't you go see our Savior, our promised Messiah? In reality, they were the first missionaries, the first evangelists. They couldn't keep quiet about what the angels had told them and what they saw. I mean, it's one thing to have angels tell you this. It's quite another to then go see it and see that, yes, They were telling us the truth. This is our Savior. This is the promised one. And guess what? I can't keep it to myself. I've got to tell others. And so they do. They go and tell others. The Messiah has been born. You too can go see him. What a wonder. I'm sure these shepherds, for the rest of their lives, told of these events. I mean, how can you not? We have events in our lives that, yes, are, you know, earth-changing. They've changed us. Our salvation certainly has done that. That's something newsworthy to tell others. But we may have other events that have changed the course of our lives. And we recount those because they have a huge bearing on us. You know, others may not quite see it that way, but it does for us because we know what happened. And we tell those events. I dare say that those shepherds did for years to come. But one other wonder, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 2. We move away from the shepherds. We see in the wise men that the wonder of the wise men moved them to give. As they come to see he who is born King of the Jews, because they've seen his star in the east, in verse 11 of chapter 2, it says, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." The wonder of the wise men moved them to give. They too see this young child. Yes, King of the Jews, the Messiah, the promised one. They worship and they give. These are some of the more mysterious characters of our Christmas account. We don't know who exactly they are. We don't know how many they are. We just know that the word is plural, so there is at least two of them. We typically think of three. I mean, we do have a Christmas song that we sing, "We Three Kings of Orient Are." We base it on the three gifts, and the hymn writer that wrote that bases it as you read those lines. You see a line for each of those kings presenting their gifts, supposedly. We don't know that one king had gold, one had myrrh, and one had frankincense. That's how we present it in Christmas programs. It just says that these wise men presented these gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. However many there are, could have had all three of them. Or they could have had just one. We don't know, but our song that we sing has each king presenting one of these items because it just makes for nice poetry and a nice presentation, if you will, of this event musically. But they give. They give of what they possess to he who is born King of the Jews. These men that come from the east. Are they Jews? Are they Gentiles? We don't know. The wise men, the word itself kind of would refer to Gentiles. But Gentiles in the east that would have been knowing of the Jews' prophecies, going all the way back to Daniel and his three Hebrew friends in Babylon. Particularly Daniel, since he will live on through some successive kings going on into the Medo-Persian Empire, mingling with those precursors to those wise men, laying out the Jewish prophecies, if you will. Now, that's obviously centuries before, but obviously those prophetic events that Jewish scripture has been handed down through that group of men all those centuries. And now that it has come to pass, these men have traveled that journey to see he who is born King of the Jews. We've seen his star in the east. We know your Jewish scriptures. The timing is now, and we've come. And they give. What have we given to our Savior? I trust we give him our life. It's his. He created us. We're his by birth. We're his by redemption. May we give him our life. It doesn't mean that we all are going to become pastors, because there are several of you in here that can't be pastors by means of your gender. But we all can serve him. We're all called upon to do so. God has ministries for each of us to do. We can give, yes, of that which he has freely given to us, our tithes and offerings. But as he has our heart, he has our pocketbook, if you will. But may we give that which he has so freely given to us, a new life in Christ. May we be like those shepherds. As we have the wonder of the new birth in us, may we take that to a lost and dying world. God loved us so much that he sent us his Son to be our substitute, to take our place and bear our sins in his own body. How can we stay mute of that message? May we take it to those around us, family members, friends, neighbors. May we be like the shepherds. Again, this Christmas season is one of those really easiest times to talk about Christ. Because regardless of what Santa has done to Christmas, we still call it Christmas. It still comes back to that little babe in a manger. What about that babe in a manger? Yes, the world is getting farther and farther away from any kind of understanding of the Bible. Jesus Christ is just another derogatory term at times. But this one time of the year, Easter, another, one of two times in the year, when we have the opportunity where people are a little more open, yes, what about that little babe in that manger? Can I tell you about that babe's story? Why it is so significant that we have a day to celebrate? Why that life is so significant that our figuring of time is based on him? Whether we use AD or BC, the common ways of looking at time, or whether you use BCE and CE, it's still all based on Jesus Christ. They may remove references to Christ by going to the common era and before the common era, but all they did is just change those initials before and after the numbers. They still have to be forced with, why is that break there? What is the cause of that break? Jesus Christ. Oh. So the old way of doing it was okay then, before Christ and in the year of our Lord. Okay, you just don't want to say those. But your timing is still based on Jesus Christ. Yes. May we take that message to those around us. Let them know. He came humbly, yes. But he came that he might die in your place for your sins. He came to redeem you. Do you know him today? If not, you can. May this be the day of your salvation if you're here lost this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to thee. We thank you for the message that we find of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we joy and rejoice at this time of year as we read the account. Father, it thrills our souls. Father, it also humbles us as we realize that you loved us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to robe himself in human flesh, to leave the realms of glory, to come and live on this sin-cursed earth. To live amongst people who by and large rejected his message. But Father, you sent him so that the means of redemption was there. And we thank you and praise you for that. I pray, Father, that we may always remember that message as we go forth. That Christ came, robed himself in human flesh so that he might die on the cross of Calvary. And then, Father, 3 days later, rise again, victorious over sin, death, and hell, showing that the sacrifice for sin was complete. It met your just demands and has declared us righteous when we by faith believe. And we thank you for that. Now may we take that message to those around us. Doesn't mean that everyone will respond when we speak, but Father, as we have the opportunity to sow and water that word, in your timing, you give the harvest. We thank you for that. May we do our part. May we be like the shepherds of old and go forth and tell what we know. We know that you saved us. You know that you gave us a new life in Christ. May we be faithful about your business, especially at this time of year, when hearts are a little more open, a little more softer to hearing of Christ. Dismiss us in thy care, send us forth in thy grace and strength. And truly, Father, may we rejoice this time of year as we spend time with family and friends. May we rejoice with the salvation that we have in Christ and in Christ alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.